Kyle Picadere's. So, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Thanks for putting in the original submission, which we've read, so you don't need to read that submission out to us, but I see you have some material. Very welcome to lead us through that and to outline your key concerns for us.
Thank you. Hello, gentlemen. I'm Nadine Patterson, and this is my partner, Mark Fiskin. We reside at Kapuka Dairies near the Waitona Lagoon. We've just got a wee overview of our farm and our considerations. So Kapuka Dairies is a 704 hectare property consisting of 420 hectares of milking platform, 200 hectares of wetlands, with the remainder made up of pine blocks and scrub areas. Kapuka began its first milking season in 2011. Mark having a personal interest in Kapuka Dairies, as per the attached mission statement, and myself felt we needed to control and run the business ourselves to ensure its economic future and viability. We took over operations in August 2012. We sought an addition to consent to milk 1,100 cows on the Miller Road, Waitona property in 2014. This was a very extensive, stressful, and not to mention extremely costly exercise involving consultants, an environmental lawyer, and a commissioner. Through the process of completing this consent, we became very aware about the sensitivity of the area and the need to present the best case possible in order to achieve our end goal. Our consent was granted as we put forward a sound case of best management practices. That also included our suggestion to mitigate wintering on farm by removing cows by the 10th of June, no more than 45 left on farm. This costs our farm around $350,000 per year for young and mixed age animal grazing and has to be budgeted during the season. This is where our journey really began, the invaluable knowledge that we gained and the beginning for myself, our joint relationship with Environment Southland. Specifically the land sustainability team, Katrina Robertson, Gary Morgan, who have been invaluable in their advice and assistance, and of course the fact that they are very familiar with the area, and more importantly from our perspective, our farm, our plan, our goals. Katrina is suggesting and liaising with Mark on the installation of a green water yard wash system at our dairy shed, cutting our white water usage, and of course being able to recycle, and the installation of a solid separator. Katrina putting together a riparian planting plan for our farm, 500 metres to be completed every year, the initial fencing of waterways on farm, which Environment Southland made a financial contribution towards, the farm completing a sustainable milk plan, liaising with Mark on construction of a sediment pond from an old gravel pit. Mark's suggestion was to add an entry point and an exit to aid water flow. This can be viewed in the Kapuka overview, and just recently when I went to a Carrick's meeting, the gentleman that was representing there was really interested in what Mark and Katrina of course had achieved. Recent studies carried out by Living Waters on this constructed wetland in Moffat Creek northeast of our dairy shed showed a very healthy population of short-finned eels, enunga, etc. Katrina has organised plantings on this area via Living Waters. Also the construction with, which is adjacent to the wetland, a lime rock filtration system for pea, which can be viewed also in the handout. Special thanks to Gary for his wisdom and practicality and for advising Mark that Manuka can make a great shelter belt for a paddock, working with your environment rather than other expensive alternatives. Since that day, it's been a hard and fast path of learning and upskilling, best farming practices, soil classifications, soil structures, how this affects our farm practices, healthy waterways, riparian planting, and getting to know the attributes and limitations of the farm. All important practices for better, smarter farming. Being open to change and innovation, helping to improve both land and environment, benefiting everybody sustainably. Communication is the key and good relationships formed. My concerns are with blanket rules and labels such as a peatland, non-compliant, etc. With the recent downturn in dairy and with regard to our own consent at the time, no provision was made for unforeseen situations. One particular scenario occurred when through the Canterbury going through a drought process, livestock was transported to Southland for grazing. Due to the downturn, I kept our young stock on farm for an extra extended period of time to reduce our grazing costs. However, our grazier had budgeted that our young stock would be earning him set monies for X period of time. Thus, he took on grazing from Canterbury and we actually missed out and to cover his shortfall, basically. After exhausting all avenues, I made a call to Contract Environment Southland regarding our dilemma, as we had to make up some sort of contingency plan if we were able to winter our young stock. No markets were available to sell the stock, far too small to send to the works. The reply was that someone would get back to me regarding this in the interim. My reply was I needed an answer immediately. The reply came back that it was suggested that we seek an addition to consent and suggested that we get a consultant. This answer came via the receptionist. To me, that was a generic reply, Waitana area, sensitive. No consideration was made for us personally or the circumstances. With no prior compliance issues and the fact that we have shown good farm management practices, and environmental management skills, knowledgeable people to consult with, none of that made a difference. What avenues are we to pursue in circumstances like that? And without directly dealing with a third party person who should not have been put in that situation in the first place. This was an extremely urgent and sensitive situation. It was a need for us to basically, due to contingency and budget, we needed to have some sort of plan put together. It is from that scenario, it's from a scenario like this that I would like to amend that peat wetland be reclassified from non-complying activity to permitted discretionary activity. If we have the skill set and the tools to prove that we have good management practices, the ability to gain knowledge and to introduce innovation to our business, then why are we labelled under this banner? Our farm has two-ton feed pad to mitigate pugging paddocks, leaching to waterways and damage to pasture. Our fertiliser application is 80% liquid, plant available. We are changing our fertiliser practices, for example, helicopters to apply our fertiliser or GPS to reduce damage to pasture and improve accuracy and target areas. Our water quality is just as important to us as it is in this plan. To be proud of our healthy waterways, quality drinking water for our stock, and at the bottom, so water quality can be measured. Oh, sorry, I missed a line. Monitoring stations have been installed at the top end and the bottom end of our farm to measure water quality. And like Mark mentioned, there's also been another bore installed so that groundwater can be measured as well. Mark felt that it was necessary, as implications were made from local council, that when the farm was originally being converted, the stock on this farm had some way fouled the water. Due to the fact that there was no stock on the farm at this time, this was not possible. As I stated in my submission, I feel that water quality information would be informative and necessary for two reasons. One being above, and the other would be that if there is an actual incident on farm, it could be mitigated, eliminated, and corrective measures and avenues taken. To date, I have still had no information, even though I have requested it several times over. As Kapuka Dairies has an extensive network of old tile, box drains, and artificial waterways, it is impractical to record all drainage systems. This land was developed pre-70s, and Mark if there's ponding issues in the paddock, needs to dig up and find out what's going on underneath. Going forward, all new drainage should be mapped and pre-existing drainage when found. A farm management plan is an integrated part of our business, especially after going through the consent process. which was basically treated as a new conversion due to the sensitivity of the area. This has given us a sound basis going forward, a very extensive plan showing our competence and good management practices and our no wintering plan as mentioned above. Many of the practices in the plan, which include fencing of all waterways, riparian planting, fertiliser application and nutrient budgets are a requirement and are supplied to our dairy company annually. I know personally how much time is involved in this process. With close to over 1,000 dairy herds in Southland, how is this going to be monitored so that timeframes are feasible and viable? What assurances are there that this is not going to have a major impact on our business? With climatic changes on the horizon, and this has been evident in Southland over the last 2 years, with a mild winter and spring, I would like to suggest flexibility be the key to whether animal waste can be applied between the 1st of May to the 30th of September. Not only, as I stated, that with the technology available, soil moisture meters and temperature probes, plus information off Environment Southland website is also available, that we are capable of making accurate and good management decisions as to whether solid waste can be spread onto our land. It is of great concern to us that due to these restraints and our erratic weather patterns as of late, before the 1st of May, and the fact that the period from mid-May to early August is our off-season when repairs and maintenance is carried out on our lanes, could not only create an animal health and welfare issue, but due to time restraints and farm logistics during the season, whether these can be carried out at all, thus having a substantial impact on our farm and our business. In conclusion, I would just like to reiterate to us personally that communication and good relationships, and we have formed that, and I would just like to say thank you very much, gentlemen, for listening to our little spiel.
Now you were reading something out there. Are you happy to leave a copy of that behind so that we can have it photocopied and we can retain a copy each?
Sure. Cross out a paragraph that I didn't want to read out, so I'll do that. That's fine. Thank you.
That's all right. That'll be great. Just in terms of Rule 38 and your concern about the date restriction, the staff have recommended to us that date restriction be removed and that the focus instead be on the moisture content of the soil, whether or not it's above field capacity, something, you know, et cetera, that kind of focus rather than a set date. So that issue has been acknowledged by the staff and they've recommended that change to us.
That's good to hear.
You tabled this document. Do you want to explain, take us through that?
Sure. Basically, I just wanted to give an overview, of where our farm lies.
Yep.
The relevance, basically, of, well, just our mission statement, which is just a background of information. Mm-hmm. What our farm actually looks like, our farm map, our aerial shot of our farm.
Yep.
The boundary is actually quite hard to distinguish. Mm. But you can see up on the top part of the boundary our significant wetland area,
yes,
right up the top there.
Yep.
And just basically an overview of, you can see down the bottom of, you can see a small network of tidal drainage and everything going through our farm. Mm-hmm. And you can also vividly sort of see waterways that are in existence through the farm. And of course, there's quite a large amount of artificial watercourses.
Yep.
Of course, our physiographical map.
Yep.
Showing also our soil testing. Katrina, along with Mark, basically, when they had the plan to build this new wetlands, this was what Katrina sent through to me about, it was a poster that was actually generated.
Right.
And this is actually of our farm. So
this is your farm.
Very proud.
And the Niwa poster.
Yeah, that's right.
Cool.
So I thought that was very, well, I was very proud when I saw that anyway. So.
Yeah, as you should be.
And of course, just look, that actually is the gravel pit that was constructed into wetlands, and at the time the plantings that occurred and everything else that worked, sort of went with it, basically.
Yep.
And the next pages from 22 to 24 was just the wee spiel that Living Waters put together. and what was found on our farm, and you know, like, it was actually a really interesting experience because I was terrified they weren't going to find anything. So my heart was racing. So I was absolutely, to tell you the truth, actually by the end of it, I was sick of counting fish. I was, so, you know, like, I know, I thought it was a real testament to, you know, Mark and Katrina, because it worked so well. And like I said, when I went to the Carrots meeting, I was, yeah, the gentleman there was extremely interested in, you know, like, you know, just basically how it works, you know, and does it work. So, you know, that was really interesting. And of course, there's some fabulous pictures of our what we found, and the coro that was found on the farm as well. And the most recent project, the lime rock filter for phosphorus, which is still a work in progress. And the next picture is basically of the proposed, Mark's got a gravel pit down the far south end of the farm. Mm-hmm. And the proposal, what's going to happen after he's finished with gravel extraction, we're going to build basically another wetland area down there as well. So, like, and also the fact that, you know, like, technology is moving on, so it'll be quite exciting by that stage to see what our plans are going to be coming out of that. The next two picks are basically when we actually went through our consent process, and it was regarding buffer zones. Mm-hmm. And imposing of 50 metres. We actually got the AS down to 20, because by the time that we worked it out with using a 50 metre buffer zone, it was a quarter loss of land. Mm-hmm. So that was extremely significant. So we managed to put our case forward and actually get it taken down to 20. So, and we find that there is no problem.
Yep.
No problem with that. And just a really basic shot of our wetland area taken by our helicopter pilot that you know, does our fertiliser application.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything you'd like to add, or shall we just move to questions now?
Yes.
Questions.
Yes.
Okay, Lloyd, start it going.
Thank you for that. That's very helpful and quite straightforward. Just first comment, the wetland, do you have any management criteria, or do you have any interaction with the wetland, or is it fenced off and there's no stock activity?
No stock activity.
And is weeds and those sorts of things a problem of the area, or is it just basically looks after itself?
Well, gorse is becoming a small problem around it. Is the only thing that is coming in. I mean, people have tried, there's one picture there where you can see some people before our time have tried to drain it, but as far as I'm concerned, it's not cost effective to do it. So, but it helps long term with our nutrient budgeting.
Mm. And are you able to control the gorse?
Yes, we will. We should be able to, but again, it all depends on what happens inside it. You know, we can't. I've never been inside it. The only time I've ever been there is flying over it. So,
okay.
It's not like you can walk through it. If it starts in the middle, there's no way to really stop it unless you're going to do it by helicopter.
Okay. In your original evidence or submission, Rule 32, you made mention of stone traps. I read that as stone tracks are captured by the drop test.
Yes.
The officers have recommended that it'd have to be 35 cubic metres and above for the drop test, so that takes care of
that. It definitely takes care of that.
Mm. Winter grazing, you've made mention that 20 hectares is insufficient.
Yes.
A number of submitters have said to us that that should be, or would we consider a percentage? How do you...
I definitely think that percentage is fairer, because depending on landhold sizing, I don't see how, you know, like, also with the 5-year rule, I just don't know, like, of course it depends on your terrain, your contour, all of the above. So if you actually take out what is relevant on your topographical, you know, land, I don't know what you're left with. So, you know, I think that would be, honestly, a would be more feasible to be a case-by-case study. That's how I feel about that. We actually have a lease block at Atherton, which is of course in the Clutha district, and it's very rolling, not like Kapuka, which is pretty flat. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, yeah, the logistics up there are, like, yeah, it just depends. It's very difficult when, I can actually let Mark, I've done a lot of talking, so I'll just let Mark talk, actually.
Well, in that part of it, when it comes down to the 20 hectare rule, we don't winter on farm, but we like to bring the cows home to a crop before we put them on a pad, otherwise we can't have 1,000 cows on a pad. So of course, down where we are, I don't like to grow huge crops because the soil structure is just annihilated. So you actually, instead of wanting to grow a 15 tonne crop, I really only want to grow a 5 or a 6 tonne crop. So putting it in late helps with our regrassing program, 10% per year, and we need to be doing 40 hectares per year of regrassing. So it's just reducing the amount of pressure on that land. I feel if you're restricted to an amount, that you're having to intensify that piece of land's use and causing a bigger problem.
And a number of other submitters have made that comment to us, and a number have made comment for others as well to make it fairer. So thanks for your comments.
Certainly I see the issue when everybody is growing big crops and using, you know, small amounts of land or a lot of land, or like in our situation it's a wee bit different, we can't grow, utilise it. So.
And you made mention around drains and outlets and mapping and monitoring them, so you do that, so you don't know everything, but you know
no.
What you do know, and you've recorded that for your own farming management?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and as I said, it's a learning process down there to find them. I mean, it's taking me a long time to come to grips with where exactly they are. Yeah, and I find a lot by get a bit of pond and you dig it up and there's a block tile.
And there was also extensive, you know, like basically it was all developed. Katrina actually sent through pictures pre-70s, July 1982 it was, and the difference. And like, you see the drainage through, it's just astronomical.
Thank you for your submission. And I was just to say, if these cows are an example of the condition score of what you've got, that's very impressive.
I thought the same when I just looked at that picture. Oh, they're girls.
A question. Do you consider you've got enough tools to use to control nutrient loss of your property?
I think that we are gaining knowledge all the time. It never stops. And when you, I don't know about other people because I can't speak for them, but what we have learned, like I said, through the consent process was just mind-boggling. All these tools that are available, because where we used to come from in Gore is nothing like Waitona. So I think where we are leaps and bounds ahead of so many other areas. Unless you're in an area like we are, we found that our scenarios are way more in depth, and we have to have that technology and those tools to be able to farm, hopefully, the way that you know we want to, that is basically sustainable.
One of our new ones is the liquid fertilizer.
Yeah.
Like, it is capital fertilizer liquefied that goes onto the plant, so there's a lot less chance of it going into the soil to leach out.
So are you doing that as an FPA or fine particle application?
Yes.
Yeah, so it is a wee bit more expensive, but also too, and the same thing is probably, I was very sick of putting fertiliser on, getting a lot of rain and going, where did that go? So you know, you go to the situation as we want to put it on, we want to use it, we want the best we can out of that. So that's certainly been a new thing we've just put into place in the last 2 years. By our business partner actually owns the company. So, you know, we tried it out and it works excellent, and I'm all for it. And we've done it again this year.
So the second question is, you're confident that there's an increasing array of tools to manage nutrient loss. What about the methodologies of measuring nutrient loss and do, but does you use Overseer or what do you use?
Oh yes, definitely. Well, that's the only tool available to tell you the truth.
Yeah, so you've got some innovative ideas like the lime rock for phosphate.
Is that incorporated?
Yeah, no.
Absolutely not.
So how do you know whether that's working?
Well, you see, that's only just a new project that's just started. We were actually initially involved with Dairy NZ, Environment Southland, NIWA. There was lots of different bodies. We were actually going to do a proper phosphorus study on our farm, but unfortunately we didn't come under the Fonterra umbrella, so to speak, because we're open country suppliers. They didn't want to do the study on our farm. But I was really, because, you know, like, you want to know about, you know, because when we first came down to the area, the biggest was N. That was the main, you know, like, how much N, you know, what is your farm, you know, what's the N leaching? That was everything, but now it's actually moved more to P. So when we first started, look, our N leaching was come out at 12. So, you know, like, I'm finding, you know, like, you grasp one concept and then you're moving into another. So, you know, like, you're starting to get a whole picture. And that's when, I don't know, like me personally, I'm asking, well, you know, how is that, where is that, how is that happening? I want to know all of that, because at the end of the day, you know, like, this is the way that we're going, this is the way that what is going to happen. So I think it's important to, you know, like, I'm not sure about, I only know about certain tools when I've talked to Katrina, you know, where do I get that from, how do I get that, because I certainly asked quite a few other people and they don't even really know what I'm talking about. So. You know, sometimes it's finding the right person to ask the right question. And if you get that person, then hopefully, you know, you can sort of branch out and find out more. That's what I find difficult sometimes. Is I know exactly what I want, but can I get it? Is it available? That's what I find. You know, as far as Overseer goes, you know, like, yes, it's, well, like I said, it's the only tool available. So, you know, that's what we've got at this stage. Like, it wasn't actually designed for what it's being used for now, but it's basically gospel. So,
okay, thank you.
Good morning, thank you for your information you've provided this morning. All the waterways on your property, are they man made? Are there any natural?
No, they're not all man made.
There's two main waterways that aren't man made. Well,
yes, there is. It's Moffat Creek that runs through the farm. There was some deceiving maps at some stage that said Curran's Creek also ran through there, but that's not true. So, no, we've got Moffat Creek, we have south end, north end, if you call it, so to speak, down Miller Road. Your Moffat Creek sort of is within, 200 metres, I would guess, of each other. So, yep.
And they connect directly to Waitunga?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
So that's where your native fishery are coming up?
Yes.
Right. So they're not being translocated?
No.
So I'm interested in the lime rock filter.
Yes.
It's a trial.
Yes, it is.
And why was it placed in this particular site here?
We're going to be undertaking a bit more development in that area. So we're just talking about it with Katrina, as it would be monitored before we start and as the process goes on. That's why it put that, because at the moment it's not probably a high volume flow area, but with development going forward, I feel it could be, as I said. And that's the way of monitoring it as well, to see what's coming in and out.
So if it worked, you'd likely replicate it elsewhere?
If it works and if that's what it is at the time. You know, there's always new, you know, advances in technology and going, well, this is better. So, and I feel that at the end of the day, it will go through and the materials you're using for those filters will come up. So definitely, we have a lot of area that we have drained into, and of course, that where there was no tiles before you put them in, and running a huge amount of water. So by, as I said, at the south end of the farm, building gravel, we've constantly got to screen gravel for our lanes, it's too hard to bring it in, even wrecks the roads, trucking that much material in, so I've decided to do it all in-house. And then you can get all that water into one place, and if we need to filter it, we can do something there. So the plans are in place to do all that.
So it works by you'd scrap the phosphate out or if periodically?
Well, yeah, as I said, once we monitor it and see what's there, then we can work with Environment South and to sort out how to solve it.
It might be an optical illusion. What's that thing in the water there?
I can't see that, Mr. Ellison. Oh, okay. That's actually the filter. That's the filter.
That's where the water leaves, yeah.
Oh, right.
Mm. Periscope fire.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It's a new concept to us, so you know, like it's all in new stage. So,
and of course, everyone's Environment South actually put that in there because we're going, well, does it work? And if it works, you might be prepared, to do it on your own back until it actually you see if it works.
Thank you.
Now, everybody has asked all my questions, so that's. Thank you very much. It's very good, and having that information is very useful.
Just want to ask about your submission on Rule 14, which is the fertiliser discharge rule.
Yes.
And in your submission, you raise an issue about there being a large number of artificial watercourses on your farm.
Yes. Yes.
So can you just explain the concern? Is the concern that sometimes when you're doing your fertiliser application, it goes into the artificial watercourse?
Well, yes, it's more actually depending on, at some stages there has been a lot of, you know, like Mark has made new watercourses, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
So, of course, with the way that the peat structure is, it's more that you may not have it near the watercourse, it doesn't mean that it's not going to make its way there.
Okay.
And that right. is the biggest concern to me is more that, you know, like you try to do everything you can, but does not mean that it's going to eliminate it.
Okay. A lot of our old water cut courses, old water tiles are very shallow.
Yeah, because my reading of the rule is it's worded that refers to a direct discharge of fertiliser.
Yes,
so
direct.
So actually have to be spreading, the spreader would have to actually chuck it into the.
Yes, but like when you say direct, you know, like if someone actually investigates.
Hmm.
You may think it's direct. You can't. That's how
So you're concerned that fertilizer leaching through the soil
yes.
into the outer.
Because if somebody does, maybe let's say, for example, a test. How do you know?
That would be, in my understanding, is that would be an indirect discharge. But
I agree, but that's
point.
From our perspective. Yeah. You see, if you understand what I am trying to say, because we've already had cases. Where we had an inspection, and it was actually for our effluent. We had a slurry cap down there at the time, and the young guy that turned up on the farms told me in no direct terms that we were spreading effluent in a non-consented area.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe that he would be, I could not believe that he actually did not take my word for it, that, you know, it was consented, so. I have had these little things in the past where I think, well, maybe
yeah.
not.
No, that's so good. No, I understand the concern now. And you're right, words are important.
Words are important,
be
yes.
differently. All right, thanks very much for coming in and providing the very useful information. And in terms of the work you're doing on your farm, I think you should be highly commended for that with your wetlands and all the things that you're doing. I'm pretty impressed with the size of the native fish that you're catching.
Yeah, no, the study was amazing. It was really, especially like it was about the whole catchment, so it was great.
Yeah,
great. Really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to the next one. Hopefully we find different species in there too.
Right, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank